FTC, Film Distributors Limited. Farrah Fawcett, Kirk Douglas, Harvey Keitel, a Stanley Donen film. Against a black background, white snaking lines gradually form the title of the film, Saturn 3. Executive producer, Martin Starger. Music, Elmer Bernstein. Screenplay, Martin Amis. Story, John Barry. Produced and directed by Stanley Donen. Against a backdrop of distant stars, the planet of Saturn, with its distinctive rings, is tilted on its axis in space. An orbiting moon gradually emerges from its far side. Cruising slowly towards the planet is an enormous spaceship. As it draws closer, the sheer scale of it almost obscures Saturn completely. A metallic grey rectangular hull with strips of lighting along its underside gives way to an oval section, at the centre of which is a rotating satellite dish. Along the curved rim of its back end is a row of lights, flanked by two arm extensions which jut out from the main body of the ship like the claws of a crab. On a launch pad, colourful lights flash in a space pod whose domed outer casings resemble the eyes of a fly.
Captain James, your presence on pad 73. Immediate, urgent. Clearance for
approach. Starting control bearing 397. Arrival Mars transport now estimated 5 hours delay. Suggest advanced service program still available time.
A golden semicircular sun is in the middle of a painted archway, from which extends a runway with lights running down either side. Strange human figures appear in silhouette across the horizon. Those who are carrying boxes form two lines, then they set off along the runway.
Transport now estimated 5 hours delay. Suggested
bad
service program.
They make their way steadily towards the space pod.
Captain James! Your presence required urgent, pad 73 for immediate launch.
The figures are wearing spacesuits and red helmets. The boxes they're carrying are actually equipment cases, which they set down on the launch pad. A viewing gallery divides two white ramps, each a mirror image of the other. A figure carrying a small case comes running up the lower one. The people in spacesuits and red helmets are busy loading the equipment into the pod. On a locker, an orange light is lit up on a keypad that's labelled Benson. Beside it, a man, face unseen, pulls on a shiny black helmet which completely covers his head. Then, with precise and measured movements, he slowly marches past the rows of lockers stacked in the room. Elsewhere, the man with the small case is still in a hurry.
Launch 392. Captain James, your presence pad clearance soonest. Status urgent.
The man presses keypads to gain entry to the locker room and then to open his locker. As he's carefully removing a metal canister, at first he doesn't see the figure in the black helmet coming out of hiding, then making his way between the lockers towards him.
That you, Benson? How you doing? So you blew the mental test, huh? Potentially unstable.
Benson looks at an emergency switch.
I'd have been unstable too, if I knew I was gonna get Saturn 3. Saturn 3.
Benson belts himself into a chair.
You're not going to appeal, are you? I wouldn't recommend it. It's been tried before. Hey, Benz, what are you doing? Wait a minute, Benz! Holy hell, stop! Stop! No, Benz! Quick, stop it! Benz! Hold it!
Benson hits the switch, opening an airlock. The other man is propelled towards wires which shred his entire body. Then his remains are jettisoned into space.
Launch 392. Captain James for Saturn 3, launch minus 5.
Benson then makes off with the metal canister. In silhouette, Benson runs with the canister past the semicircular sun, then hurries down the runway to the space pod.
9-2-2. Commit minus 3.
Ground crew are preparing the pod for launch. Benson climbs up a ladder and lifts on board the canister, which has the same sun logo on it.
Status red and counting. You remain clear. Let's go. Minus 0-30. Have a pleasant trip, Captain. Minus 20.
With the pod now ready, the ground crew file away.
Minus 10 and counting. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The thrusters fire up, ejecting a thick cloud of gas which fills up the launch area. Then the pod slowly lifts off. In space, a red flashing light on the rim between the claw-like arms turns green. The space pod rises up from the hull, a tiny speck dwarfed by the sheer scale of the gigantic mothership. Having flown clear, the pod cruises on through space, a vast black blanket peppered with stars, on a direct course for Saturn. On board, Benson sits in semi-darkness, the pinkish planet and its rings looming large in the windscreen in front of him. As it flies into Saturn's orbit, the space pod has to negotiate a storm of tightly packed rocks. Benson adjusts controls above his head. Maintaining a steady course, the pod sinks through a layer resembling liquid before flying clear of the rings. It carries on around the planet, heading towards one of its moons. With the moon almost filling the pod's windscreen, Benson steers the craft down towards the rough, cratered surface.
You are entering the field of Saturn III Experimental Food Research Station. Intended landers should adopt vectors 3-9 to the polar elliptic, 2-4 to the equator.
The rocky, arid landscape rushes by below, revealing mountain ranges and deep fissures and valleys in the moon's crust. Two figures in shiny spacesuits stand on the surface, watching the pod as it comes into land. The pod hovers over a space station embedded in the rock, then Benson flicks some switches. The craft gracefully rotates into an upright position, then the landing gear extends from between its legs.
You are entering the field of Saturn III Experimental Food Research Station.
As the pod slowly lowers itself towards the ground and fires up its thrusters, the two astronauts continue to watch it. A powerful jet of gas is ejected from the underside, forming a thick cloud which fills the surrounding area. Once the pod is touched down, the astronauts walk briskly towards it. Benson opens the door and lowers the ladder to disembark. As the astronauts stand by, waiting, he lifts up the canister, then climbs out.
Any urgent unloads?
It can wait.
Let's get inside, then.
I'll take that.
No.
One of the astronauts presses buttons on a keypad to open a door. Then the three of them enter the space station. Viewed from the surface of one moon, Saturn slowly eclipses the bright white light of a second moon in the distance. As they enter a decontamination chamber, one of the astronauts points to the canister.
Is that all right in here?
Yes.
The male astronaut presses a button on a decontamination control pad. Then the walls become a rippling force field, which passes through the chamber and bathes the astronauts in a dazzling white light. With decontamination complete, they leave the chamber.
Here's where we've been for the last 3 years.
The male astronaut pulls off his helmet. He's in late middle age with fair hair. Then Benson does the same. He's younger, with dark hair and eyes.
Captain?
Major.
This is my partner.
After taking off her helmet, the female astronaut, a fresh-faced blonde with blue eyes, seems unnerved by Benson's open appraisal of her.
Take a look around if we lock up.
As the Major closes up the chamber and his partner puts away her helmet, Benson carries the canister down a set of stairs. He glances back at the others, then the woman comes to join him.
You're quite an event in our lives.
Well, I guess you don't get many drop-ins on Saturn III.
Hardly ever, especially not from Earth.
Captain? What kind of do you come from?
Terminal 5.
Oh, I know 5. Where?
Far side of the East Billions.
Oh.
Where were you?
Oh, I spent a couple of terms in Billion Park.
They've cleaned it out now. It's a dead cell.
Dead? I didn't know that.
On the woman's cheek is a circular tattoo with lines on it.
It's been a long time.
Now, this way. I see by your scan. You've never been to Earth, have you?
No, I haven't.
Saturn III, when they want to
give the solar system an enema, that's where they stick the tube in. We've heard that one.
They pass through into the living quarters.
I expected to go to the laboratory.
We thought we'd have a welcoming drink first.
How's Earth, Captain?
You get the bulletins, don't you? You're supposed to scan and acknowledge.
We do acknowledge.
But we don't always scan.
No. Earth is hungry.
That's why we're here.
Your research is behind schedule.
We're doing all we can.
Not enough. You need help.
And you're the help?
In the laboratory, as the others look on, Benson puts down the canister on a table, turns it round slightly, then attaches a wire to it. The woman goes to touch the canister.
No traction contact.
You mean don't touch?
Correct.
What's in there?
I have to sound Earth and report in.
You can't do that.
We're in eclipse.
Oh, yes.
No external contact while we're shadow locked. You know that.
Of course. How long will it last?
22 days.
I need some rest.
Alex, show the captain to his quarters.
Major.
Alex and Benson leave.
Can I get you anything? Some herbal?
No, I'll just take a couple of blues and crash.
Blues?
Blues, new dreamers.
Sleeping pills?
You've never heard of blues? You really need to shut life out here, don't you?
I choose to be here.
She opens the door to his quarters.
Here, in case you choose to try one.
He drops a blue pill into her hand, then closes the door between them. In the dark, deserted laboratory, the canister remains upright on the table, wired up to a machine, and with a white light lit up at the top. Alex and the Major are sharing a shower.
One thing I envy him.
What's that?
He's breathed. I mean, we lead a shut life here. It must be really something to go outside and breathe.
When I was last there, if you went outside and breathed, the pollution count was liable to rust your tubes.
He slaps her bottom.
What do you think of him? The captain?
I don't know. He's funny.
Funny? I must have missed his best lines.
Adam. What are blues?
Blues?
Blue dreamers.
Where'd you get that?
From him.
He had no business giving you this.
What do they do?
Oh, when they send someone out alone, they give them some of these to keep them from going static.
Did you ever take one?
Blue dreamers?
Did you?
Years ago.
What was it like?
Huh?
You heard me.
Interesting.
He envelops her naked body in his robe.
Let's try one. Together.
Maybe.
Come on. Please.
After he goes.
How long do you think he's going to be here?
No longer than I can help. Do your best to make him feel at home, huh?
Sally.
Shut in the lab again.
I'll get her.
Alex.
Seeing her about to scamper off naked, he throws her a thin white robe. Then he picks up the Blue Dreamer tablet and contemplates it. Now wearing the robe, Alex runs along the station's dark corridors to the lab.
There you are.
After scooping up their terrier, Sally, she notices the canister beeping and goes over to take a closer look. Curious, she presses a button, then the lid slides upwards.
No!
Ah!
No traction contact.
Come here, Sally. Sally. Sally, where are you? Come on. Sally.
It has a name.
Of course she has a name. Haven't you ever had a dog?
A few times.
Well, didn't they have names?
Just something to eat.
Give her to me.
What?
Don't. It's time we get to bed, Captain.
Yes, you have a great body. May I use it?
I'm with the Major.
For his personal consumption only?
Yes.
That's penally unsocial on Earth, you know that?
Well, it's not here. Enjoy your blues.
As she leaves, Benson's dark eyes bore into her.
Hey. Problem?
Adam puts his arm around Alex, then they share a lingering look.
Come into my quarters, we'll discuss your problem.
Benson presses a button to bring up a live feed from Alex and Adam's living quarters on a monitor. While Adam lies on top of her, kissing and nuzzling into her neck, she seems quite preoccupied. Benson can't take his eyes off her. From Benson's unblinking eyes to a pile of the Blue Dreamer tablets lying on a surface. Now, Benson's lying flat on his back in bed, with his arms neatly tucked under a green sheet. Later, Alex and Adam watch Benson unloading the equipment cases from the space pod on a monitor.
Looks like he's going to build his own place.
Adam begins skipping with a rope while Alex stretches out with an exercise wheel.
He's not traveling light. Maybe I should help him.
Why? He's here to help us. He's so strange.
Benson carries the equipment into the research station. Later, Adam and Alex find him in the lab.
That's a lot of stuff. How long are you staying?
Till I'm done.
Now, exactly what have you got for us?
It's the best, the latest robot.
We've got three robots.
They're not very much help.
This one's different.
Different, huh?
It's the first of the Demigod series.
Later, some of the equipment has been unpacked, while some remains in its cases. Benson is walking along the line with a clipboard, taking an inventory. He stops by a case of metal, limb-like pieces, checks one, then moves along. His brown hair is tied back in a neat ponytail, and he's wearing a dark spacesuit. The lab is a cavernous room that's been carved into the bedrock. It's lit by strings of disc-shaped lights. Benson pauses briefly by a case of metal precision instruments, makes a note, then carries on. Alex comes in and shuts the door behind her. Without acknowledging him, she sits down at a terminal with a handheld device.
Alex, where'd you get Annie?
That's what the Major calls me.
I know why you're denying me hospitality.
We offered you the run of the place.
I'm talking about you. Your body is very beautiful. I'd like to use it.
I'm not interested.
On Earth, we use each other's bodies to give ourselves pleasure.
No, thanks.
You're afraid of him, aren't you?
I'm not afraid of anyone.
You're afraid he'll be jealous. He will be jealous. He's frightened of the new ways. He's obsolete. He's proper.
In the communications room, Adam's watching a feed from the lab on several monitors. After killing the audio, he continues to watch Alex talking to Benson with a grim expression. Later, they're all in the lab and Benson approaches the canister.
Lights.
Alex puts out the light, then Benson lifts up the canister lid to reveal a mass of enlarged brain matter.
Pure brain tissue.
The tissue is held together by thin copper wire.
Human?
This is an unborn. Has nothing on its mind. Yet.
Then it has to be programmed. It takes a human being 20 years just to develop...
3 to 4 weeks.
3 to 4 weeks?
Once I get his head together, it will take over your program.
Take over?
With a little help.
Then what?
Then one of you will be obsolete.
He closes the canister. Adam and Alex are taking a jog through the station.
We can apply for remission together, can't we? We have to find a way to stay together.
The truth is, I'm close to abort time. I hope they'd have forgotten us.
They never seem to forget.
Adam flops back onto his bed.
Obsolete.
He suddenly sits up again.
Alex! I've got it. We flush the captain and his friend into space.
You wouldn't do that.
Why not? People are being flushed all over the solar system. No one cares.
It's a horrible idea.
It's a great idea.
Sitting on a step, he lifts Sally into his arms while Alex perches on the bed and looks unhappy. Benson is building the robot. He solders the electronic elements deep in the guts, sending out sparks, then pieces together the different components. The metallic body begins to take shape, with a plated chest and sinewy thighs and calves, all polished and new. Benson carefully removes an electronic component with two prongs from its bespoke case. Adam slices a blue dreamer in half with a knife.
Blue dreamers?
Mm-hmm.
Now?
Why not?
He and Alex toast with a shot of whiskey. Then they both knock back their halves of the pill.
I don't feel anything.
You always want instantaneous satisfaction.
Do you miss it? Maybe it's different now.
Yeah, maybe it's worse.
That pill's getting to you.
No.
They toss an inflatable Earth ball to each other. Then he turns away.
I think you ought to go to Earth.
What? You said I'd hate it.
Find out for yourself you hate it.
I don't want to go.
Yes, you do.
What? Just want to have been.
So have been.
And leave you?
It's going to happen, sooner or later.
In the lab, Benson activates a fluidic injection tank, which sends a flow of liquid along tubes to four thin cylinders. Two of the cylinders fill with red, two with blue liquid. Acting as a conduit, they pass the liquid on along more tubes that are connected to the android. Gradually, the liquid travels up the robot's sinewy tubes, working its way up muscular metallic calves and thighs to the main carriage of the body. Above the waist, the form is less body-like and more a complex arrangement of components connected by wires and tubes. As Benson tweaks the machine housing the cylinders, the red liquid carries on, coursing upwards through the robot's tubes like blood through veins. Near the top, the small electronic component with the two prongs lights up, giving the impression the android has two bulging eyes. Adam and Alex are awoken in their quarters by the doors opening and the android standing on the threshold. Benson appears from behind the robot, which is a couple of feet taller than him.
Quiet, please. You're blocking him.
Alex turns off the music. The android steps forward.
I wanted you to meet Hector.
Adam.
Give it a simple instruction. Ask it something.
Hector.
Yes.
Hector, hand the flask to the Major.
Hector grips the flask, then squeezes it too hard.
Abort.
Glad you didn't ask him to shake hands.
Wheel and meditate. Obviously, there's still some more fine-tuning to do.
Back in the lab, Benson removes Hector's breastplate, picks up a thin metal device and studies it for a second, then reaches round behind his own head. Moments later, a button labelled Direct Input lights up in green on a control panel in Hector's body.
Begin.
Standing alongside Hector, Benson moves his head slowly from side to side, and the android mirrors his actions precisely. Next, Benson lifts up his right arm, and Hector does the same. In unison, Benson rotates his hand, and Hector turns his shiny metal claw. Then they both lower their arms. When Benson lifts his left arm and goes through the same motion with his hand, Hector again follows suit. The pod sits on the roof of the space station, overlooked by Saturn. Adam plays a decisive move in a game of chess, and Alex matches him with a confident move of her own.
Thought you had me.
I think you have me. Good evening, Captain.
Good evening.
Can he play?
Yes. I play, he plays.
I'd like to see that.
Hector? All right.
How would you like to make a small wager, Hector?
He doesn't like to be laughed at.
Can't you program him to have a sense of humor?
That's not an early priority.
Oh, come on, you can't program a sense of humor.
Anything I have, sir, he can have.
Well, then he'll definitely have a sense of humor.
Who's white?
You be, Hector.
While Benson stands by with his hands behind his back, Hector autonomously reaches out for a chess piece and plays a move.
How does he learn?
Direct input.
He sits him down in front of a blackboard.
I said direct input.
Adam plays his move.
But how do you work that?
Brain to brain.
A brain drain? You mean he draws from your brain?
Yes, when I want him to.
But how?
Radio contact.
He shows them the thin metal device.
Where do you make the connection?
He lifts up his ponytail to reveal a small socket in the back of his neck. Then he turns back to face them and inserts the long metal device into it.
Hector.
Adam moves his black rook, then looks from Hector to Benson. Hector moves his white rook, then after one more move, takes Adam's. In retaliation, Adam moves his other rook across the board and takes Hector's. Bringing his queen into play, Hector diagonally takes Adam's last rook. Then Benson removes the device from his neck.
What were you thinking?
Exchange and simplify.
And you can control whatever you think?
Yes.
I wish I could.
I teach him as much as I choose.
You haven't taught him enough. Sacrifice. That's one thing you can't teach them, Captain. Sacrifice. Checkmate.
When Hector snaps Adam's queen, which he's just taken, Sally growls.
Now whatever he thinks, goes straight into that robot. Doesn't that scare you?
Not really. The captain's been carefully selected. He's trained.
To control his thoughts?
Of course.
How do you work that?
Is it the box?
Hector shakes his head.
You can hear me, right?
Hector nods.
But you can't talk.
Hector shakes his head again. Benson slots the device into his neck socket. Later, when Alex sets down two buckets on a workbench, Benson and Hector step forward for a closer look. With a remote control, she directs a small basic robot with tank tracks to come towards her and help her with her task. She doesn't seem to be aware of Benson and Hector's eyes boring into her in an unnerving way. When Benson drums his fingers, Hector does the same with his metal digits. As Alex studies an object through a telescope, nearby, Adam notices the intense attention being given to her by Benson and the android.
Who knows what's in the captain's brain? Who knows what goes on in anybody's head? Alex, would you say I was a man who could control his thoughts?
I think so.
Stand up, please. Now, take that off very slow. No, go on. I'm going to think about nothing but hydroponics. Hydroponics. Hydroponics.
As she lets her robe fall away, he playfully tackles her onto the bed.
Hydroponics.
Later, Alex is studying microscopic data at a bank of monitors in the lab. Nearby, Hector turns his head, then switches on a large laser gun. gripping either end in his metal claws, he then directs the beam at a boulder inches away from where Benson is working. When Alex points a remote control at a three-armed robot to bring it closer to her, Hector's head swings round to watch.
Who devised the system? There are sources for food present, and cities are starving. What happened?
My eye. Something's in my eye. Get out of
here. Now, let me look. It's a live chip. Sit down.
Get Adam.
Please, Adam can't help. Hector.
No.
Relax. Trust him,
no.
Alex.
Don't. Please don't.
Be still.
Don't let him touch me.
Do as you're told. Be still. He could spread.
No.
Benson forces open her eye.
Steady.
Oh. Oh. No.
Steady.
No.
From Hector's claw extends a pair of fine precision tweezers. Hector zooms in on her eye.
Ready, Hector? Keep the eye still. All right, Hector. She's ready now. Hold your head still.
No.
The tweezers close in, and without touching her eye, they snatch, then retract.
I have something for you. Earth dreams.
No.
We could be together. You'll feel like you're there. A 3D inner experience.
No, thank you.
You're worried you'll like it, aren't you? You'll never know how good it is until you try. I'm today. He's yesterday. Don't you like me? Don't you?
Having overheard him, an annoyed Adam turns on a hose. Now it's bedtime in Adam and Alex's quarters.
Turn off the video scans.
Mayor, what's wrong with you today?
Today? I'm not today. I'm yesterday.
You've been listening to our cuckoo.
He's not so cuckoo.
You can tell the time by him.
In the lab, after studying a bank of monitors with data streaming across them, Hector rests his head on his chest and extinguishes his white eye lights. A red light flashes.
What is it? Nearly out of charge?
Hector presses some buttons on a control panel and the word affirmative comes up on a screen. Benson plugs a charger into a socket in Hector's stomach. Then the white eye lights spring back to life, and the android looks directly at his master.
I wish you would talk. You know you can. Why won't you talk?
Why not? What have I done wrong?
Not that blank there. That's not what I meant. That was an improper thought leakage.
What have I done wrong?
You failed course.
Don't get smart.
What shall I get? Benson checks they're alone.
Are you aware of Alex?
Affirmative.
What do you think?
Beautiful.
What do you know about it? Don't get ideas above your station, Hector.
Killer.
I said to blank that, now blank it.
Blanked as ordered.
Now reply as ordered. Am I a killer? Is that the truth? Is that the truth?
You're malfunctioning. Answer.
I'm not malfunctioning.
Now tell me. Absolutely, can you talk or are you malfunctioning?
I'm not malfunctioning. I'm not malfunctioning. You are. Outside the research station on the surface, Adam's in a spacesuit collecting rock samples. Alex flops back onto her bed. As Sally scampers along the dark, deserted corridors, Hector steps out and with his hulking great feet plods after her. When she goes into the lush hydroponics area, he follows her along a walkway, his white eyes glowing brightly in the darkness. When she stops and growls up at him, he closes in. Alex runs into the lab.
Sally?
Hector's lurking in the shadows.
Sally? 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 Come on. Come on, Sally. Sally? Sally?
She sees Sally's body lying in a pool of blood and turns away, sickened. Hector's on the move. With his head extended and his eyes focused on his target, he uses the rows of tall leafy plants as cover as he slowly crosses the room. Then he closes in on where Alex sits crying over a desk. Her back is to him, and she's so upset that she doesn't hear him approach. When he's right behind her, he reaches out and grabs her wrist with his metal claw.
No!
She hits the alarm.
No! 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 No!
Hector lifts her clean off the floor.
Adam
hurries back to the station. Benson sprints to the lab.
Hector, put her down. Let her go. Conform. Hector, he'll do what you say. Alex, you ask him.
Hector, please put me down.
He lowers her to the floor. Then she staggers into Benson's arms.
Why'd you bring him here?
Arriving back in the station, Adam flings his helmet away, leaps onto a lower level, then takes off through the corridors, still in his spacesuit.
Did you teach him to kill?
No. It's you. He wants you. We both do. He's learned too much from me.
Hector uses a remote control to manipulate another robot, which pins Benson to a workbench.
Alex!
Adam!
Major!
Adam hurries over to Alex.
What happened?
Major! Help me! Major!
Let the robot have him.
Help! Help me, please, Major! Don't leave me! Major, please, help me, don't leave me!
I can't do it.
Please.
On the point of closing the door, Adam opens it again and runs back into the lab. Seeing Hector moving through the hydroponics area, he crouches down, bides his time, then hits a button. A mechanical arm swings out and knocks Hector to the floor, sending out showers of sparks. As Hector sets about righting himself, Adam hurries over to where the robotic arm still has Benson pinned to the workbench. Gritting his teeth, Adam manages to lift the claw up, then they join Alex at the door. With Hector coming towards them, Adam smashes up the entry system. Then he leaps through the gap in the closing doors in the nick of time.
How long will the doors hold?
How strong is Hector?
Come on.
The doors of the comms room open, then Adam helps a shaken Alex to enter, followed by Benson. Adam fires up the monitors, then they see Hector pulling away the lab's door panels piece by piece.
Go through your drills, Captain. What's emergency procedure?
I don't know.
You don't know?
If we weren't in Eclipse, we could call Central.
And if we were chickens, we could lay eggs. We're shadow locked. What do? We'll sit and watch him for 3 days?
He goes over to Alex, gently helps her to stand up, then turns her to watch the feed from the lab. Hector sags against the door he's tearing apart.
He's getting low on charge.
Hector moves away from the doors.
He's about to recharge.
Let him.
You can't let him recharge.
Oh, yes, we can. Alex? We'll overload him. I'm gonna give him a headache he won't forget. Track it. Track it.
With their fingers poised on the controls and all eyes on Hector, they wait with bated breath and watch him pulling the charger from its station. Hector turns his back on them.
I can't see it.
Now.
Adam cranks a lever, sending out a massive current which floors the android. Then the three of them hurry out of the comms room. The mangled lab doors open and Benson's the first through them. He hurries over to where Hector is lying on the floor, surrounded by wisps of smoke. While Benson assesses the damage, Adam and Alex look on.
He's out. You'll have no more trouble from him.
Nor from you. As soon as we'd eclipse, I'm reporting your incompetent handling of this whole experiment.
Where have you the right to call me incompetent?
You told me he could perform those functions.
You told me you could
I did it on your say-so.
You told me you could handle it.
You're the one that put them together.
Is this the way you
it's
handle
moving.
Him?
It's moving.
Get his brain out. Pull it to his arm.
Hector flings Adam and Benson off him, then struggles to get up. The two men instantly leap back on the android, with Adam pinning down his arms, so Benson can remove the cylinder of brain tissue from the centre of Hector's torso. Alex hangs back, still frightened. Adam flips Hector's shell onto its back, and Benson cradles the cylinder of brain tissue.
Dismantle it, piece by piece, and crate it. Then take him and your ideas back with you.
What you can't stand, you run from. Like you ran from Earth.
That's right. To get away from people like you.
To set up your own little universe.
To help feed yours.
And when you brought Alex here, were you thinking just of her?
Captain, you flunked.
Adam and Alex leave.
You want to kill me? You want to kill me? Go ahead. Go ahead, kill me. Kill me, if you think you can.
Did you know the original Hector came to a tragic end? He was slain by Achilles, his body dragged around the walls of Troy.
You want the girl?
Oh, sure. Sure, you want the girl.
You think she's beautiful, too, don't you?
You know the captain's crazy. He really is crazy.
The robot scared me more.
The robot can kill, the captain can kill.
I thought I could kill. I'm just not update enough for murder. I wish I was.
You sure he's taking it apart?
Either he takes it apart or it takes him apart.
He steps back into the room and presses the intercom.
Captain, how are things progressing?
I have completed the dismantling.
Glad that's over.
An ever-pinker Saturn hangs in the sky, casting a faint glow over the space pod outside. Inside, all is quiet in the dark, deserted station corridors. In the lab, Hector's eyes light up and he moves his head. He remotely switches on the small robot with the tank treads, making it roll forwards. Next, he deploys the three-armed robot with the claws, and it too comes forward at his bidding. Hector looks down at the workbench, where all his dismantled body parts are lying laid out. The smaller robot pushes one of the parts closer to the three-armed robot, so it can be picked up by its claw. The metal leg is carried aloft a short distance, then the robotic arm lowers it and slots it into position at the base of Hector's torso. The robotic teamwork is then repeated for the second leg. Gripping the limb by a tendon-like cord, the robotic arm lowers it to Hector's head turns towards the robot with the arms as it picks up one of the android's own arms in its claw, then smoothly turns and lowers it towards the body. On the ground, the smaller robot is waiting to help nudge the limb into position. Like a conductor, Hector then oversees the positioning of his other arm. Next, the cylinder of brain tissue is brought forth, then slotted into the centre of Hector's torso. Once that's in place, the fluidic injection tank is switched on, releasing the red and blue liquids, which pass along the tubes and through the cylinders on their way to Hector's limbs. Gradually, the red liquid travels up through the tangle of tubes in Hector's legs, like blood coursing through his veins. The body stirs. Slowly, the torso begins to sit up. Hector's head and his thin, angled neck are now firmly attached and in position. The menacing white eyes stare out from the relatively small head, their white glow burning in the darkness. As Benson's zipping up his spacesuit, Alex is climbing into bed with Adam.
It's my fault, Alex. I should never have let him stay.
In a week or two, we will have forgotten it ever happened.
Will we?
Of course we will.
Benson knocks back a cocktail of colourful pills, tosses the empty bottle in his bed, then picks up his helmet and gloves. The door to Adam and Alex's quarters opens, startling them. Then Benson steps in.
I'm leaving.
I told you never to barge in here.
And I'm taking your partner with me.
What?
You are crazy.
Come along, Alex. I'm taking command. You're inadequate, Major. In every area.
Captain, for the last time.
Doesn't it disgust you to be used by him? To be touched by an old man? Can't you feel the decay?
Leaping out of bed to attack, a naked Adam wrestles Benson to the ground. Then they roll across the floor. Adam begins to throttle Benson and bash his head.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Alex tries to pull Adam off. After releasing his grip on Benson's throat, Adam allows Alex to lead him back to the bed. Red-faced, Benson struggles to sit up. Alex wraps a white robe around Adam's shoulders.
Why did you stop me?
Benson strikes Adam across the head with a bar.
You're coming with me.
Let me go!
First thing we do is go see Earth.
She manages to free herself from his clutches, then Hector appears and severs Benson's hand. Hector drags Benson away by the leg. Adam starts to come too. Later, Adam and Alex are both dressed and creeping through the space station.
Gonna get to the captain's ship.
You gotta be quick. Let's try.
Now?
Come on.
He pulls her by the hand down a corridor, then, keeping his eyes peeled, approaches a junction with caution and stops. Once he's sure the coast's clear, they stealthily make their way on tiptoe through the labyrinth of connecting passageways. Hearing a noise, they quickly duck down another corridor. They hurry towards the decontamination chamber, then look back the way they've just come. Pressing himself against the wall, with Alex hugging his back, Adam peeks out and sees Hector lumbering in their direction. Thinking on his feet, Adam guides Alex to a narrow gap under the staircase. From there, they access an underground shaft with a low ceiling. Keeping their heads down, they steal along it, then disappear around a corner. As they carry on along another passageway, suddenly Hector's metal claw plunges through the ceiling, narrowly missing their heads. They beat a hasty retreat back the way they came. They stop a little way along the passageway, look up through a grilled vent and hold their breaths. Above their heads, Hector is plodding towards them, the faint light catching on his shiny metal torso. He walks past without seeming to notice them, so they quickly creep back towards the staircase. Then something makes Hector stop and look back. Noticing the grilled flooring, he retraces his steps and takes a closer look. As if sensing Adam and Alex's presence, he begins to follow them, his feet trudging slowly and steadily across the grilled floor. They look up and see Hector closing in on them through the grill. Adam has an idea. He gives Alex a reassuring pat, reaches for a thick fire extinguisher hose pipe, then gets himself into position. Alex gets ready to work the lever. As Hector draws closer, Adam holds up his hand, biding his time, before giving her the signal to turn the extinguisher on. A powerful jet erupts through the grill, filling the corridor and shaft with a thick white cloud. Alex backs away, then hurries off along the shaft. A few seconds later, Adam throws down the hose, then creeps along the shaft in the opposite direction.
Alex.
Unable to see her, he carries on his way. Alex pops her head through a vent, then keeping a lookout, lifts herself up into the corridor. Adam, meanwhile, is still creeping through the shaft system.
Alex.
His fingers curl around the grill, then he lifts up a floor tile and pulls himself up into the corridor above. After quickly getting his bearings, he runs off through the seemingly endless and identical network of corridors. He stops, glances over his shoulder, then carries on. Alex appears a little further back. He sets off towards her, then Hector appears from nowhere and blocks his path.
Get back! Get back!
Hector's probe-like white eyes look at Alex, then he turns his attention to Adam. Adam grabs a canister and lobs it at the android's torso. As Alex bolts off in one direction, Adam throws another canister, then takes off the opposite way. After a moment, he looks over his shoulder, but there's no sign of Hector, and the corridor's eerily deserted. He retraces his steps. Alex is still running one way, and now Adam's going in the same direction, but he's just a little way behind her. When she stops to catch her breath, a human hand covers her mouth from behind. It's Adam.
Where is he?
I don't know. He just vanished.
As they set off along the corridor, a CCTV camera above their heads lights up.
He's in the communications room. He's tracking us.
On a monitor, Hector watches Adam and Alex running hand in hand through the station. When they enter the lab, another camera lights up. Adam grabs a rock, then lobs it at the camera, killing the feed. Still in the lab, Alex removes the grey floor tiles, allowing Adam to pull up the grilled panels underneath. Hector is on the move. Adam throws the grills into the icy water that runs under the station, then Alex carefully puts back the floor tiles. They slot the last tile back into position together. Next, Adam places Alex on the far side of the tiles, facing the door. Then he runs and hides behind a unit close to the hydroponics area. Eventually, Hector comes to a halt in the doorway. As his eyes scan the room, Adam keeps well hidden. Then, the android looks directly at Alex, but doesn't move.
Come in, Hector. Come on. Come on in.
Hector's probing eyes stare at her, but still he doesn't move. She glances nervously to the side. As if sensing something, Hector moves alongside the tiles that have been tampered with. Then he stops, and with his metal claw, lifts up a boulder. He lets it drop, and it crashes through one of the tiles. No! Their plan foiled, Adam creeps behind a nearby lab robot. With small, measured steps, Hector begins to close in on Alex. Then, at the last moment, Adam swings out the robot's arm and knocks Hector to the floor. The android falls through the tiles. As he's flailing around in the icy water, Adam grabs Alex, then they sprint off through the station together. Encrusted in ice, Hector starts to heave himself out of the water. Adam and Alex arrive at the decontamination chamber and quickly put on their spacesuits. Hector is back on his feet and moving swiftly and steadily along the corridors.
Are you sure you can fly it?
No trouble. It'll be locked into automatic return. All we have to do is light it up and just sit back.
As Adam and Alex are hurrying out to the space pod, it suddenly blows up in a huge explosion. The blast throws them to the floor. Inside, Hector's pressing a flashing red detonate button. Adam and Alex stand in the decontamination chamber, then wait for the force field to pass through them. Then, they despondently take off their spacesuits.
Adam knows something. He doesn't want to kill us. Whatever he wants us for, it's not for that.
The doors to the comms room open, then Adam and Alex creep inside. He boots up the controls, then turns on a monitor, only to find himself and Alex looking back at him. They exchange a puzzled look, then he turns on another screen. It, along with every other feed, is showing them in the comms room.
It's hopeless.
He closes the doors. He swings her chair round towards him.
You get your trip to Earth. I promise.
As Adam takes a seat, the monitor is suddenly filled with Benson's face.
The captain.
Benson's image pixelates, then dissolves into a screen of static.
He's alive.
Yes, I'm alive.
Captain, what happened?
Hector and I have come to an arrangement.
Where is the robot?
Hector is with me.
The doors open.
Come this way, please.
With their arms around each other, Alex and Adam tentatively step outside. Then the doors close automatically behind them.
How strange that it ends like this.
How will it end, Captain?
You and I will come to an arrangement. This way, please. This way!
As they set off along a corridor in the direction of his voice, more doors close behind them.
Hurry along, please.
When another set of doors close, they stop.
Hurry along, please.
They break out into a run, only just managing to squeeze through the gaps in the closing doors. One set of doors closes before they arrive, penning them in. Then another opens.
I'm here. I'm alive. I haven't died. I'm taking over.
Standing before them is Hector, with most of Benson's head bloodily grafted onto his own. Alex's knees give way and she sinks to the floor. Saturn slowly moves upwards, heralding the end of the eclipse. In the gap between the planet and one of its moons, a three-pronged silhouette appears and gradually gets bigger. It's a space shuttle that's being manned by two astronauts in shiny red helmets. The shuttle cruises through the pitch black of space on a direct course for Saturn. On entering its orbit, it negotiates a path through the dense field of rocks. The pilot charts their course for the moon on the far side. With his head resting on a clean white pillow, Adam opens his eyes. He's in uniform. When he sits up, he grimaces and clutches his head in pain. His hand feels something behind his neck and he goes to the mirror to investigate. It's a socket, just like Benson's. Adam's face crumples, then he thumps the wall in frustration.
Good morning, Adam. I trust you slept well.
What are you doing to me?
Your program for the day is very simple.
Where's Alex?
First, you will restore the damage to the laboratory.
What are you trying to put in my head?
Put in. I'm not trying to put anything in. That comes later. I'm taking it out.
Adam sinks to his knees.
Where's Alex? What have you done to her? Have you done the same thing to her?
Good morning, Alex. I hope you slept well. Your program for the day is simple. After repairing the damage to the lab...
Where's Adam?
I'm happy to report he's cooperating fully.
Where is he? What's going on?
We're just coming out of eclipse, if you'll excuse me for one moment.
Wait!
This is Survey 19. Survey 19, come in, Saturn 3. Hello, this is 1919. Come in, Major.
Survey 19. Survey 19, this is the Major.
Saturn 3 here, Saturn 3. This is the Major. Receiving you, Survey.
We have audio reception, Major, but no picture.
Are you in any difficulty?
Just a temporary video inconvenience. Everything's A-OK.
You've just come out of shadow and we wanted to make our routine contact.
Everything's normal here. You can expect increased output on our hydroponics shortly.
And how's our favorite space girl?
She's wonderful. In fact, she's perfect.
Is she nearby? Put her on.
Hello. Survey 19, hello? Can you hear me?
Hello, Survey 19.
No!
Hello, Alex.
No!
How are you making out?
Not me!
That Hector unit, is it working out?
Hector is responding very well to his new challenge. Would you like to have a word with the captain?
Oh, that won't be necessary.
Well, that's all then. Talk to you in 6 months.
Bye now.
The survey shuttle cruises away from the moon's orbit.
Now we can proceed. First, make your way to the laboratory so we can continue with our work. After repairing all damage, we shall continue with our search and analysis procedures. I'm sure you will find them profitable. And, for the most part, painless. This way, please. Come along, I don't want to force you. You could very quickly become hungry, hot, cold, or even breathless.
While Adam throws on his beige gilet, Alex sits looking subdued.
Now this way, please.
The doors of their respective rooms open, then Adam marches out. He turns back, then she flings her arms around him.
When I heard your voice, I thought I was going mad.
Oh, Alex.
Hurry along, please.
She doesn't have a neck socket.
Go on in there.
Without you?
I need a minute.
What's gonna happen to us?
Don't worry.
Hurry along!
Adam kisses her firmly on the mouth, then they hug again. When her fingers feel the socket on the back of his neck, she covers her mouth in horror.
Go on.
Still holding her hand over her mouth, she takes a last look back at him. Then they set off in opposite directions. Outside the decontamination chamber, Adam keys in a code to open a cabinet. From it, he pulls out a canister of explosives. Alex is walking along a corridor, nervously rubbing her hands as she goes. She stops in the shadows, then the lab door opens, bathing her anxious face in the light from within. Above her head, Hector looks down on her from a sealed cabinet.
Ah, there you are. And how beautiful. Come in, Alex. Come in.
Stop it, Hector.
Hector, I never liked that name. Did you know that Hector was slain by Achilles? His body dragged around the walls of Troy? No. I never liked Hector. We can do better. How about Adam?
Stop using his voice.
Forgive me. Is this more to your liking?
Or this, perhaps. Stop it. Stop using us.
Well, you see my difficulty.
I'm you.
I'm Adam.
I'm the other one.
I'm everyone.
Conversation is an art. I do it to perfection.
There you are. Don't be late again, Adam.
Major. You will call me Major. I'm in command here. You will do as I say. Both of you, stay where you are.
Hector glides down on a hydraulic platform.
It's time we programmed your brain to be a bit more productive.
Captain? Yes, that's who you really are.
I'm not the captain. I'm your superior.
Adam, please.
I told you to keep away.
Don't do that. You must learn to obey.
It's not your fault, Hector.
Turn around.
Adam shows him the socket, but then turns away.
It's not James's fault.
Turn around.
He offers the socket, but then turns away again.
It's everybody's fault.
No, no, this is...
Adam tackles Hector, then they both fall through the gap in the tiles into the frozen water, where Adam detonates the explosives he's wearing. Hector's body parts erupt from the water, then are hurled through the air, surrounded by spray. Against a backdrop of the lab's disc-shaped lights, the android's different components keep on coming. The brain tissue canister flying up through the air, followed by limbs, joints, and wires. Then the great wash of water starts to fall, dragging with it the robot's parts back into the frozen sea. A leg tumbles downwards, hitting the edge of the tiles before plunging into the icy depths. From above, all that remains on the surface is the white, churning spume. A spaceship is cruising across the galaxy. At its front is a shuttle, which is attached to a long, thin body with a cluster of hexagonal pods at the rear. On board, the atmosphere is relaxed, as people come and go past a viewing window. Alex, her long blonde hair now a tousle of curls, is amongst them.
Hello there. This is your captain speaking. I trust you're enjoying the ongoing flight situation, and we hope you're going to fly World Spaceways again and again and again. Duty-free goods service will be closing shortly. Right now, though, I'd suggest you walk to the ports and get a good position for a swell view of Mother Earth coming right up.
The lights go down, plunging the cabin into semi-darkness, and everyone drifts over to the viewing gallery. Alex leans on the edge and looks down expectantly at the planet Earth for the first time. The shuttle disengages from the main body of the ship, then cruises along a downward trajectory on a direct and steady course for the planet. In the distance, Earth hangs in a star-speckled sky, its atmosphere a swirl of clouds, topped by a corona of light.